today on Real Radio.
When you think about God, what enters your head? What is that in your mind? God who? What is he like? This God that you and I claim to believe in, what are his characteristics? How do you know him anyway? You've never met him. You've never seen him. How do you know?
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called Things That Are Impossible, Part 1, continues now in a series called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah. Thanks for taking the time to join us today. You know, Isaiah's ministry was like no other prophet in biblical history. He not only foretold the birth of the Messiah, Jesus Christ, but his prophecies regarding the nation of Israel, well, they were far beyond scope, some reaching as far as the second coming of Christ and his 1,000-year reign here on earth. In Isaiah chapter 45, we learn that Israel's rebellion against God and their rejection of Jesus as the Messiah will cause the Lord to scatter the Jews out of their homeland, but not all will be lost. The Lord will make a new covenant with Israel and forgive their disobedience. So today on day one of Isaiah chapter 46, Pastor Jack tells us that God has an answer for the things that seem impossible in our lives. Still, how we view God in our minds is what molds and shapes us into who we are as Christ followers. And now in his lesson called Things That Are Impossible, Part 1, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Lord, I'm excited about this chapter, and I pray, Lord, that I would do it justice. It is so tender and so sweet, and I ask you, Father, that you would minister to us, and Lord, that I would decrease now, and you would increase now before us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, church, grab your Bibles tonight and turn, if you would, to Isaiah chapter 46 in our study in the book of Isaiah. I'm hesitating because I want to say Isaiah chapter 46 just might be one of my favorite chapters of the book of Isaiah. And then I start thinking about Isaiah chapter 53. And then I start thinking about Isaiah 63 and Isaiah 66. And maybe I'll reserve for saying that. But it is an awesome chapter. Isaiah chapter 46. And it's just 13 verses, but they're very powerful. And we're looking at a message tonight that is entitled Things That Are Impossible. I'm going to ask you to write that down. Things that are impossible. By Christian nature, we are not taught to think or speak like that. We're supposed to say that everything's possible. And I understand that, and you're right. But there are some things that are impossible because man cannot do them. You and I cannot pull it off. The religions of the world cannot do it. Good works or efforts cannot do it. There are things that without God are absolutely impossible. And salvation is going to be one of those things. We're going to learn tonight about the prophetic nature of our God. Things that are impossible, but God can do them. Things that are going on in your life and my life that might seem to be impossible, but God's got an answer for them. And God is speaking to them. And I pray that tonight is encouraging. And that it might affect your view of how you think about God. In fact, A.W. Tozer said, what comes into our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us. And I want you to look at that quote for a moment. It's absolute truth. What comes into your minds when you think about God? Pause right there, Tozer writes. When you think about God, what enters your head? What is that in your mind? God who? What is he like? This God that you and I claim to believe in, what are his characteristics? How do you know him anyway? You've never met him. You've never seen him. How do you know? How can you be here tonight? It's a Wednesday summer night. You could be anywhere right now. What are you doing here? You have come to seek God. You've come to draw closer to God. You've come to learn more about God. Tozer writes, what comes into our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us. And you want to know why? Because our understanding of who God is literally shapes the person that we are becoming in Christ. It molds who we are becoming. By the way, the reverse is true in the negative if you are a worshiper of a false god. It is a fact that you become like the god or gods that you worship. And Isaiah is going to point that out tonight. So the first thing that we see regarding things that are impossible is in verses 1 to 4. And it is this. It's that false worship cannot help you. God is speaking through the prophet, and he's warning the nation of Israel and Judah to the south that false worship will always leave you bankrupt. He says, Baal bows down and Nebo stoops. We'll talk about those in a moment. Their idols were on their beast and on the cattle. Your carriages are carts, some of your Bibles say, were heavily loaded or laden, a burden to a weary beast. They stooped, they bowed down together. Note this, they could not deliver the burden, but have themselves gone into captivity. Two things we want to write down and note right now are these two names that are mentioned right at the start. God says, okay, here's the deal. Baal, and you need to know this, Baal is the root word. And I wish I had a chart. I couldn't find one that was good enough, but imagine in your mind, when you go all the way back to ancient Babylonian worship, Baal, B-E-L, is one of the chief gods of 360 gods that the Babylonians worshiped. They had a god for each day. They had a 360-day calendar. By the way, the Bible from Genesis to Revelation is based on a 360-day calendar. And the Babylonians had a god for every day. And Baal, we get Baal, is this one particular god that when you study and unpack his names throughout cultures and generations, from empires to empires, you begin to look at his name because, you know, the Grecians had different names for the gods that the Babylonians had. They just renamed them, same gods over the same realm. If it was the god of nature in Babylon, it's the same god of nature in Grecian mythology and belief, but they changed the name. But this one, Bel, or Baal, you recognize him, is the Phoenician or Canaanite Baal. When you look at all of it and trace the word usage and meanings all the way back, you come to an ancient god. Now listen, it's not Uber like the car, Lyft or Drive, the taxi service, but Hooper is an ancient god, and from that ancient Sabaean word or name, Sabaean culture, they worship the gods of the Babylonians. This particular name is the actual root god of the moon that predates Islam, and that is the crescent moon of Islam is not new to Islam. That crescent moon icon was the very Baal icon of the ancient Sabaeans in Babylonian worship. And God says that those idols will fall. Nebo, the root word of that, you've heard of Nebuchadnezzar, right? His name comes from the worship. He was named after that god. Belshazzar, Baal, all named from that particular god. And this is what the Lord says. They're all going to fail. They're going to come tumbling down. And you put them on carts, God says, because Israel had adopted these false gods. You've rejected God. You've accepted now these false gods. You put them on carts, and God is basically saying, watch this, Israel. This is what's happened to you. You have forsaken me. You've gone after these false gods. They've got to be put on carts and pulled through the city. Have you ever thought of such a thing? Is that ridiculous or what? Well, it happens all the time. It happens in every culture. And they pull around this icon. They pull around this image. They pull around this thing. Now, church, I've been very, very nice to you tonight and sensitive. I went on YouTube today and I Googled idols falling off of carts. And I almost died laughing. And then I realized tonight I couldn't show you that because it might so offend someone, because there were various gods from the world, and these are modern day clips of people in parades and things, and they're marching along with their god on these carts, and the people marching stumble and fall, and the god falls over, the head falls off, and the people are crying and screaming. They're trying to put the god back together. And I'm not kidding you, one of them was in Mexico City, and it was Madonna. It was Mary, and she's on a cart. And she comes into the church service, and this one poor guy stumbles, and the whole thing comes crashing down, and people are screaming and crying. Mary falls down, her arms break off, her head falls off, and the people are losing control of themselves. It's like their world had come to an end. Listen, those are idols. I don't want to upset or offend anybody, but if you're looking to God through an idol, the Bible has a lot to say about that. And God says it's all coming down, and that's a form of false worship. Baal bows down. Nebo stoops. The load, the burden, has to be pulled by ox. Remarkable. But just because someone worships, church, in a spiritual context, just because they say they're worshiping, doesn't make it holy or righteous in what they're doing. Your worship is qualified based upon the object of your worship. Tonight, I encourage you to worship. Before a service began, I came out here and I said, you know, let's all worship, and let's worship in spirit and in truth. Why? Because it's the object that which we worship qualifies the validity of the worship itself. And if you're worshiping things that can stumble and fall, then you're in trouble. And we have the opportunity as believers to worship the eternal God. And what we do now, we're going to be doing in eternity forever. So I don't really like the worship. Then you're not going to like heaven at all. What are you going to do there? Honestly, listen, we have wonderful worship here, but don't you still long on the inside of you to even somehow get into it more? I mean, I'm not a hyper running around crazy kind of a person, but I'm thinking, God, just peel back the roof for a moment and show us your face. He doesn't need to do that, but you want it to happen anyway. You go to a service and you want to hear God speak. You want to hear him move. And you think about that day when the Holy Spirit was poured out in the book of Acts. The Bible says that it was the presence of the Lord was like a rushing mighty wind. Now look, we got to be careful as worshipers of God, because we're not to go to worship to have some effect. Oh, let's go worship because we get goosebumps when they you know, do the lights like that, or that person sings it. Oh, it just puts chills up my back. That's kind of weird, actually. Because worship is not about what you can get out of it. It's all about what you're giving God in it. And David said, I'm not going to worship God in any way that doesn't cost me something. I mean this affectionately and honestly, but worship ought to cost us. That ought to be an expense to it. You say, well, I put a nickel in the bag a minute ago. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about worship. When you go to worship God and your life seems to be falling apart around you, if you look around, or if neighbors are looking at you, or family members are looking at you, and your kids are sick, or your husband is dying, or your situation's broken down, and you choose in your grief to worship God, that's expense. That's a cost. And that's a delight to God's heart. There's none of that in idol worship, because idols are not real. They can't know. They don't know. And yet people remarkably worship idols. And you might say, Jack, you're so out of step with the culture. All that stuff is behind us. We are an enlightened generation. You know what? I actually want to say something in defense of idol worshipers. That's right. I'm going to defend idol worshipers. In the old days, people had a statue, and at least they thought that statue brought something to them. They attributed some sort of benefit from that statue or from that thing. Are you with me? Today, we worship nothing. You say, what? We're worse than they are. We don't attribute nature to some image. No, we say, oh no, nature and everything came out of nothing. That's worse. Oh no, everything you see, isn't it beautiful? Everything you see, it's all fantastic. Oh, it's beautiful, isn't it? Oh, it's fantastic. Yeah, it came from nothing. What an insult to God. Quite remarkable. The ancients at least thought, well, all of this had to come from something, and they ignorantly worshiped in their false system. Today, we've got so much of the revelation of God and the information that God has presented to us and the scientific observable equipment to look at God's amazing fine-tuned universe, and then we come to the conclusion, it's all a big accident. I think it's insulting to him. I wrote something down. I don't know if it's going to mean anything to you, but if we worship things that, number one, we have no idea what we're talking about, but we worship that thing, that's strange. But number two, we also worship things that we have full knowledge of. It's either the pendulum swings one way, where we worship things that we have no knowledge of whatsoever, we just worship it, or the pendulum swings the other way, and we know exactly what we're talking about, and we actually worship that. See, what do you mean? Well, I'm kind of primed in that thinking because earlier this week, Lisa and I were in Canada, and we went on some tours, beautiful locations. And I got to tell you, I couldn't wait to get home to you, back to some sanity. Not because Canada's insane. Canada's fantastic. It's beautiful and all that. But the people there are like the people here. But I was on this tour in numerous stops. And here's the deal. Oh, well, this right here, isn't this fantastic? This is where the whales come this way, and this is what they do. And what did I write down? It's Mother Nature wanted us to enjoy all of this. We looked at the fall colors, the trees turning color, and it was said, and this is what nature has given us. Now think about that for a moment. Are you guys all hearing me? Yes. Mother Nature saw too the fact that whales needed to swim this way and over here and do this. And nature determined how these colors do what they do. Attributing all of these amazing attributes and characteristics, right, that you would put to a person? To what? Isn't it funny how people say Mother Nature, nobody even makes a peep, when it's really Father God. But you can't say Father God because people get offended at that. So you say Mother Nature. Who's going to get upset with someone's mother? You can't do that. Mother Nature just did this. And we heard it this week too. Over the course, the evolutionary process brought this about. And it's like, you're killing me here. That's a form of idol worship. And then I found out this week, do you know that, quote, we humans are most like the bonobos, who were most likely our ancient fathers and mothers. Do you know, I didn't know this, but it used to be that we came from apes and monkeys, but now they have found out, you know. Now we know, they say, that we have come from bonobos. Do you know what bonobos is? Oh, this, some of you that are in anthropology, you're getting mad at me right now. Well, everybody knows we came from bonobos. Bonobos are the best example, I'm quoting now, from Britannica, of mankind's living ancestor. According to a new study, beware of new studies, researchers analyzing their muscular system, they're analyzing the muscular system of bonobos. They have found that they are more closely related to humans than even the common chimpanzees. And they've come to this conclusion that this type of ape, this great ape, this bonobos, is most likely our closest mom and dad. Now, you can look at that data and you can say, there's my uncle right there. Might I submit to you that the reason why bonobos is anywhere close to us is because the same God made bonobos and made you. Well, you know, when you see everything embryonic, it all looks the same. We all look like fish. Have you ever seen a shrimp? Right? Embryonic shrimp and a human being and a dolphin and a monkey and an elephant. It all looks the same. They all look the same at the start. You want to know why? It's the same engineer that made them all. Instead, you look at that and you go, wow, God's amazing. People look at it and say, wow, you know what? We used to be a shrimp, elephant, dolphin thing. Why do people look this way? Why do people think this way? It's because of false worship in the minds. Look, listen to verse 3. He says, Listen to me, O house of Jacob, and all the remnant of the house of Israel who have been upheld by me. This is God speaking. I've upheld you from birth, he says, who have been carried from the womb. The word is brought forth, brought out, brought forth. God says, this is me. Not false worship, not false gods. God says, here's the contrast. Of all the false worship systems of the world, God says, compare them to me. Number one, he says this, I have held you up. Now, he's speaking to Israel, but rejoice in this, that God has promised us who are in Christ all the promises that God has given his people. We've been grafted in to the commonwealth of Israel. We're also studying about the nature of God. God says to Israel, and listen, friend, God says to you tonight, I have upheld you from birth. If you're listening right now, this is not an accident. This is not chance. This is not theory. If you're listening right now, if you can hear me right now, this is the plan of God. God has said, from your very birth, I have upheld you. You can choose tonight, as we go down through this study, to believe that or not. You have to make the choice. Nobody can make it for you. God says, I have upheld you. He goes on, listen to this, and he says, I've carried you from the womb. The word, as I said a moment ago, is I brought you forth out of the womb. Listen, all of us, as I look around, you've all been born. You're here right now. Now, you could say, well, that's because my biological mom and my biological dad got together and they had me, the byproduct of their biology. And I am a homogenous mix of their DNA. I'm here. I'm them. And you can say that. But you're skipping the fact that all of that description is a miracle. The conception of life, the formation of you in the womb, the birth of you coming out into this world. And you, again, might say in defense of your atheism or of your agnosticism, you might say tonight, oh, but that doesn't prove anything because I've had such a horrible life, and if God brought me forth, boy, you know, that's not a very good story. Hey, listen, all of us have got a very, very interesting story to tell. Some of us have got stories of abuse, sexual abuse, child abuse, drunkenness, violence, go down the list, prostitution, murder. I mean, you don't even know for a moment who's sitting around you right now in church. And listen, and all of us could say, well, I can't believe in God because of this. And God says, I've been with you all the way through from the beginning.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called Things That Are Impossible, Part 1. We're so glad you joined us today, and don't be a victim of circumstance, but be an overcomer because you are relying on God. Things That Are Impossible, Part 1, is part of Pastor Jack's series called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah, a series that brings to light the ministry of the Old Testament prophet Isaiah, who shared with us the coming of the Messiah, our Lord Jesus Christ, over 700 years before the day he was born. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. You know, sometimes we have to go back to the basics, especially when it comes to having a true relationship with Jesus Christ. What do we believe about prayer, about the Holy Spirit, the Bible, the church, and even our spiritual gifts? And what about our responsibilities in sharing our faith with others, or how much do we give? And are we truly walking in the ways of God? And what happens when we sin? Do we know without a doubt that we're a born-again believer and will spend eternity in heaven? You know, these are just some of the questions we need to stop and ask ourselves. And if you need any help with the answers at all, just head on over to our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org, and search for Real Life Basics. That way you can walk with a renewed spirit full of joy, knowing more about God and His faithfulness. Again, it's called Real Life Basics. And it's at our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. We also hope you'll pick up the Real Life app for your mobile device. And if you need to get a hold of us, call us, 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-777-2346. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Radio.